produce? Do I really want to create that? Am I ready to accept all of the consequences of this choice? Project yourself into the probable future that will unfold with each choice that you are considering. Do this not with the energy of intention, but simply to test the water, to get the feel for what you are considering creating. See how you feel. Ask yourself, is this what I really want? And then decide. When you take the consequences of your choice into your decision, and when you choose to remain conscious, that is a responsible choice. Only through responsible choice can you choose consciously to cultivate and nourish the needs of your soul, and to challenge and release the wants of your personality. This is the choice of clarity and wisdom, the choice of conscious transformation. It is the choice of the higher frequency energy currents of love, forgiveness, and compassion. It is the choice to follow the voice of your higher self, your soul. It is the decision to open yourself to the guidance and assistance of your guides and teachers. It is the path that leads consciously to authentic power. How does this happen? You may be aware that deceiving another person is not in alignment with your soul, but decide to do that anyway in order to gain a profit or save a relationship that you are not yet ready to lose. You may know that the path of compassion is to share your thoughts and actions, and yet decide not to share them because you think that would cost you money or security. When you choose the energy of your soul, when you choose to create with the intentions of love, forgiveness, humbleness, and clarity, you gain power. When you choose to learn through wisdom, you gain power. When you choose to create with the energy of your personality, with anger, jealousy, or fear, when you choose to learn through fear and doubt, you lose power. You gain or lose power, therefore, according to the choices you make. The personality is interested in itself. It likes thrills, so to speak. It is not necessarily responsible, nor caring, nor loving. The soul is the energy of universal love, wisdom, and compassion. It creates with these energies. The personality understands power as external. It perceives in terms of competition, threats, and gains and losses that are measured against those of others. When you align yourself with your personality, you give power to the realm of the five senses, to external circumstances and objects. You disempower yourself. As you grow aware of your spiritual self and origin, your immortalness, and you choose and live according to that first and the physical second, you close the gap that exists between the personality and the soul. You begin to experience authentic power. When you interact in terms of the perceptions of your personality, in terms of your five senses, there is an illusion that you do not see. A disagreement between two friends, for example, is not so much a disagreement as aspects of each surfacing in order to be healed. If they were not souls in agreement, they would not be together at all. If a father longs to be at the birth of his son, for example, but circumstances take him elsewhere, the perception that he is elsewhere is an illusion. He is with his son. As the personality becomes whole and empowered, it becomes content to let the illusion play. This is the creation of the dynamic of the soul whereby, no matter what situation it is in, it creates the best of all worlds from the power that it draws to the situation. From the perception of the personality, it is not possible to see clearly those human beings who, from the outside, appear to be making foolish decisions or to be unaware of their environment, when in truth they are simply drinking from the finest nectar of their environment and are totally content to let the illusion play. The splintered personality is not content. The contentment that it feels in one moment is replaced by anger or fear or envy in the next moment, as conflicting aspects of itself struggle with each other. Your responses to the struggles between the conflicting aspects of yourself determine the way that you will evolve, consciously or unconsciously, through the experience of negative karma or positive, through fear and doubt or through wisdom. Your struggles themselves do not create karma or determine the way that you will evolve, only your responses to them. If your struggle with the conflicting parts of yourself is conscious, you are able to choose consciously the response that will create the karma that you desire. You will be able to bring to bear upon your decision an awareness of what lies behind each choice and the consequences of each choice, and choose accordingly. When you enter into your decision-making dynamic consciously, you insert your will consciously into the creative cycle through which your soul evolves, and you enter consciously into your own evolution. This requires effort. But is it really more difficult than living through the consequences that follow a decision to act in anger, or selfishness, or fear, when you know that with each decision to act without compassion, you yourself will experience the discord or fear or anguish that you create in another? Is it not worth the effort to project yourself ahead into the probable consequences of each of your actions at each point of choice and see how you will feel in each instance, how comfortable you will be with each of the consequences, if doing that will allow you to harvest love, compassion, and authentic power? The effort that you apply to each decision to align yourself with your soul is rewarded many times. The part of yourself that reaches toward light may not be the strongest part of you at the moment you choose to journey toward authentic power consciously, at the moment you choose the vertical path, but it is the part that the universe backs. When it becomes necessary, for example, for the physical, emotional body of a person to heal, a dramatic shift in nutrition is often required, wherein a person must release every one of his or her eating habits and take on the habits of eating certain foods that are much higher in vibration. 90% of the person's personality may not want to do that, but the 10% that is choosing the path for the sake of health and wholeness has more power ultimately than the 90% that is fighting to remain where it is and have its own way, because the universe backs that 10% and not the 90%. Think in terms of what it means to make decisions and try to cause the rest of you to fall into alignment with them, of responsible choice. And as you move into the healing of who you are and the conscious journey toward what it is you want, recognize that the universe backs the part of you that is of clearest intention. You are constantly receiving guidance and assistance from your guides and teachers, and from the universe itself. When you choose consciously to move toward the energy of your soul, you invite that guidance. When you ask the universe to bless you in your effort to align yourself with your soul, you open a passageway between yourself and your guides and teachers. You assist their efforts to assist you. You invoke the power of the non-physical world. That is what a blessing is, the opening of a passageway between you and non-physical guidance. A personality that is conscious of its splinterness and struggles consciously to become whole does not need to create negative karma in order to evolve, in order to learn to create responsibly, in order to acquire authentic power. When you struggle consciously with a choice between the wants of your personality and the needs of your soul, you enter a dynamic through which you are enabled to evolve without creating negative karma. That is the dynamic of temptation. What is temptation? Temptation is the universe's compassionate way of allowing you to run through what would be a harmful negative karmic dynamic if you were to allow it to become physically manifest. It is the energy through which your soul is given the gracious opportunity to have a dry run at a life lesson, at a situation that, if you can see clearly, can be removed and healed within the confines of your private world of energy and not spill into a larger energy field of other souls. Temptation is a dress rehearsal for a karmic experience of negativity. The entire dynamic of temptation is a compassionate way of allowing you to see your potential pitfalls and cleanse yourself before you can affect the lives of others. It is a form of decoy in which the negativity is compassionately drawn from you, if you can see that before you create karma. As you respond to the decoy, you cleanse yourself by becoming aware and not having to actually live through the experience. You cleanse yourself without creating karma and interaction with other souls. How exquisite is temptation! It is the magnet which draws your awareness to that which would create negative karma if it were allowed to remain unconscious. In other words, temptation is a thought form that is designed to draw possible negativity from the human energy system without harming others. The soul understands that. Left to its own device, it would operate completely within the human energy system, without spilling over and contaminating the collective conscious. Temptations are not traps. Each temptation is an opportunity through which the soul is able to learn without creating karma, to evolve directly through conscious choice. The dynamic of temptation is the energy of what might be thought of as the challenging dynamic of the human experience, as the Luciferic principle. It serves the purpose of assisting the evolution of power. Lucifer means light bringer. Temptation, the Luciferic principle, is that dynamic through which each soul is graciously offered the opportunity to challenge those parts of itself that resist light. The Luciferic energy is represented in the Garden of Eden story by a snake, by the idea of a presence other than human that could tempt, but literally could not have dominion over the human being. The Luciferic energy tempts you, tempts the level of human being that is mortal, that is five-sensory, but the snake cannot destroy the soul. It can merely threaten that part of you that becomes too linked to the physical. The snake is of the earth. When you are too close to the earth, when you find yourself honoring the gods of the earth, and make earth your god and master, then so too you shall be bitten. The light-bringing energy, the Luciferic energy, that tempted the person Jesus of Nazareth who became the Christ, that tempted the person Siddhartha Gautama who became the Buddha, is the same energy that tempts you. It tempts the accountant to steal, the student to cheat, the spouse to adultery, the human being to external power. It opposes the light of your immortal soul to the physical light of your personality. It sets before you the vertical path and the horizontal path. What is the nature of transformation? It is the compassionate way of temptation. Temptation is the gracious way of introducing each soul to his or her power. When you are seduced or threatened by external circumstances, you lose power. They gain power over you. With each choice that you make to align yourself with the energy of your soul, you empower yourself. This is how authentic power is acquired. It is built up step by step, choice by choice. It cannot be meditated or prayed into being. It must be earned. When you choose to release anger, for example, you create an energy template around which your experiences will form. This energy pattern will draw to the surface the anger within you in order that you can release it. When you choose to challenge and to release a negative aspect of yourself, that aspect comes to the foreground. Everything starts to serve that purpose. Your dreams show you the archetypical dynamics of your anger. You find yourself continually in situations that generate anger within you. Your life appears to be distorted around anger, because that is the aspect of yourself that you have chosen to challenge, and the universe has responded to your choice with compassion. When you consciously invoke growing, consciously invoke wisdom, you consciously invoke the parts of yourself that are not whole to come into the foreground of your life. With each recurrence of anger or jealousy or fear, you are given the choice to challenge it or to give into it. Each time you challenge it, it loses power and you gain power. Each time you are tempted to become angry or jealous or fearful and you challenge that feeling, you empower yourself. There would be no accumulation of strength inside if the choices you make did not require discipline and intention. If you decide that you cannot beat a temptation, what you are really doing is giving yourself permission to be irresponsible. The desires and impulses that you feel you cannot resist, that you lack the power to overcome, are your addictions. Addictions are the wants of the parts of your personality that are very strong and resistant to the energy of your soul. They are those aspects of your personality, of your soul incarnate, that are most in need of healing. They are your greatest inadequacies. Your addiction may be to food, or drugs, or sex, or pornography. You may have more than one addiction. In each instance, you cannot release the addiction until you understand the dynamic that underlies it. Beneath every addiction is the perception of power as external, as the ability to control and use the environment or others. Beneath every addiction is an issue of power. The journey to the soul begins with the understanding that we are drawn automatically as a species to come to terms with power. Each human being is experiencing the causes and effects of his or her choices, his or her desire to fill in the empty, powerless places within him or her. This dynamic can be described in terms of an insecure humanity. But that is just the obvious. The mechanism at work is the journey toward authentic, genuine empowerment. That is why each human being struggles so deeply with power, the lack of it, the acquisition of it, what it is really, how one should have it. Underlying every crisis, emotional, spiritual, physical, and psychological, is the issue of power. Depending upon the lens that you wear to interpret your crisis, you will either step closer to your soul or closer to the earth. The journey to wholeness requires that you look honestly, openly, and with courage into yourself, into the dynamics that lie behind what you feel, what you perceive, what you value, and how you act. It is a journey through your defenses and beyond, so that you can experience consciously the nature of your personality, face what it has produced in your life, and choose to change that. Chapter 10, Addiction. You cannot begin the work of releasing an addiction until you can acknowledge that you are addicted. Until you realize that you have an addiction, it is not possible to diminish its power. The personality rationalizes its addictions. It dresses them in attractive clothing. It presents them to itself and others as desirable or beneficial. A person who is addicted to alcohol, for example, will say to herself or to himself or to others that drunkenness is a way of loosening up, of relaxing after a tense day, of having fun, and therefore it is constructive. A person who is addicted to sex will say to himself or to herself or to others that random sexual encounters are expressions of closeness or love, that they reflect an evolved and liberated perception, and therefore they are desirable. Recognition of your own addictions requires inner work. It requires that you look clearly at the places where you lose power in your life, where you are controlled by external circumstances. It requires going through your defenses. Even when striving for clarity, or when outer circumstances, such as an injury caused by driving drunk, or a marriage wrecked by promiscuity, provide evidence of an addiction, the personality often clings to a perception of its addiction as a mere problem, initially as a small problem, then as a bigger problem, and then as a significant problem. Why does the personality resist acknowledging its addictions? Acknowledging an addiction, accepting that you have an addiction, is acknowledgement that a part of you is out of control. The personality resists acknowledging its addictions because that forces it to choose to leave a part of itself out of control, or to do something about it. Once an addiction has been acknowledged, it cannot be ignored, and it cannot be released without changing your life, without changing your self-image, without changing your entire perceptual and conceptual framework. We do not want to do that because it is in our nature to resist change. Therefore, we resist acknowledging our addictions. An addiction is not merely an attraction. It is natural for males and females to admire each other, for example, and to feel a warmth and attraction toward each other. An addiction is more than that. An addiction is characterized by magnetism and fear. There is attraction plus fear plus a jolt of energy that is out of proportion to the situation. Attractions are a pleasing part of life. They can be satisfied and left behind, but addictions cannot. An addiction cannot be satiated. A sexual addiction, for example, cannot be satisfied by sex. This is the first clue that the dynamic that is involved in what appears to be a sexual addiction is not sexual, but that the experiences of addictive sexual attraction or repulsion serve a deeper dynamic. An addiction can be anesthetized. A sexual addiction, for example, can be made dormant within a relationship by a fear of losing the security of the relationship. But it cannot be healed without a recognition that it is there, and an understanding of the dynamic that lies beneath it. Unless this takes place, it will break through the relationship or the facade of monogamy at those moments when the personality feels most insecure or most threatened. At these times, the personality will feel a sexual attraction to others. Sexual addictions are the most universal within our species, because the issues of power are tied so directly to the learning of sexuality within the human structure. Sexuality and issues of power were created within our species to complement each other. That is why each human being who is sexually out of control actually has issues of power in which he or she is out of control with his or her own power. At heart, they are identical. A person cannot be in his or her own power center and be sexually out of control or dominated by the sexual energy current. These cannot exist simultaneously. What is the dynamic behind sexual addiction? The experience of addictive sexual attraction is a signal to the experiencer that in that moment he or she is experiencing powerlessness and is desiring to feed upon a weaker soul. This is the dynamic beneath all addictions. The desire to prey upon a soul that is more shattered than oneself. This is as ugly to look at as it is to experience, but it is the central core of negativity within our species. Sex without reverence, like business without reverence, and politics without reverence, and any activity that is done without reverence, reflects the same thing, one soul preying upon another weaker soul. The way out of a sexual addiction, therefore, is to remind yourself when you feel that attraction that you are, in that moment, powerless, and desiring to prey upon a soul that is weaker than yourself. In other words, when you are feeling the draw of a sexual addiction, consider simultaneously that you are in a mode of powerlessness that causes a desire to use others to surface within you. That desire feels like a sexual attraction. Remind yourself clearly of what it is that is being ignited in you. That does not mean that you do not physically feel a connection or an attraction, but underneath it, what causes you to want to act is a different dynamic, one of powerlessness. Allow this consciousness to penetrate deeply within you so that, at that point, if you want to act on your addiction, you need to walk yourself through your own reality. What does this mean? If you are married or in a monogamous relationship, remind yourself that acting upon your impulse may, or will, cost you your marriage or your relationship. Ask yourself if what you want to do is worth that. If you are healthy, remind yourself that acting upon your impulse may cost you your health, because you do not know whether or not the partner you have chosen carries a disease, such as AIDS. Ask yourself if what you want to do is worth that risk. Remind yourself that the partner to whom you are most likely drawn is drawn equally to others, as are you, that he or she has no more feeling for you than you have for him or her. You can be assured that this is the case because the sexual attraction that you have felt for this person is a response in you of a weakness detection system, so to speak, that you have used to scan those around you. When it locates a person who is weak enough to be susceptible to you, to be seduced by you, it triggers within you the experience of sexual attraction. Will you advance your masculinity or your femininity by exploiting the weakness of this person? Will that gain you what you want to gain? Remind yourself that you have both chosen to interact sexually in ways that do not ignite your feelings, because if your feelings were awakened, they would only let you know that the person you are drawn to is no more emotionally involved with you than you are with him or her. It is one thing to think that you are sexually involved with someone and not feeling anything. It is another to face that neither is your partner feeling anything for you. Look closely at the dynamic in which you are involved, and you will see that when one soul seeks to prey upon a weaker soul, and a weaker soul responds, both souls are the weaker soul. Who preys upon whom? The logic of the five sensory personality cannot grasp this, but the higher order logic of the heart sees it clearly. Is there truly a difference when two consciousnesses are trying to link into a dynamic that ultimately will lead to balance when both have identical missing pieces? What causes the need to dominate, for example, is the same that causes the need to be submissive. It is merely the choice of which role the soul wishes to play in working out the identical struggle. Enter into your own fear, into your own sense of wanting a drink, or sex with a different partner. Ask yourself to seriously review all of the times in your life that you thought you would gain so much from that, and face what you gained. Hold on to the thought that you create your experiences. Your fear comes from the realization that a part of you is creating a reality that it wants, whether you want it or not, and the feeling that you are powerless to prevent it. But that is not so. This is critical to understand. Your addiction is not stronger than you. It is not stronger than who you want to be. Though it may feel that way, it can only win if you let it. Like any weakness, it is not stronger than the soul or the force of will. Its strength only indicates the amount of effort that needs to be applied toward the transition, toward making yourself whole in that area of your life. Recognize that what you are doing when you fear that you will be tempted, and that you will not be able to resist the temptation, is creating a situation that will give you permission to act irresponsibly. Is it possible to create a test that you cannot pass? Yes. The experience of wanting to be tempted in order to test yourself is the act of creating an opportunity to act irresponsibly. To say to yourself, I knew I couldn't do it anyway, and give in to your addiction. The heart of making a temptation that is greater than you can resist is that you do not wish to be held responsible for your choice. The greater the desire of your soul to heal your addiction, the greater will be the cost of keeping it. If your soul, have chosen to heal an addiction now, you will find that the decision to maintain your addiction will cost you the things that you hold most dear. If that is your wife or your husband, your marriage will be placed in the balance against your addiction. If that is your career will be placed in the balance. This is not the doing of a cruel universe or a malicious God. It is a compassionate response to your desire to heal and to become whole. It is the compassionate universe saying to you that your inadequacies are so deep that the only thing that will stop you will be something of equal or greater value in opposition to your inadequacies. This is the same dynamic that is expressed in terms of space and time and matter by the second law of motion. Quote, a change in the momentum, the mass, direction of movement and speed, of a body in motion is directly proportional to the force affecting the body in motion and takes place in the direction that the force is acting. By the magnitude of the cost of your addiction, you can measure the importance of healing it to your soul and the strength of your own inner intention to do that. Try to realize, and truly realize, that what stands between you and a different life are matters of responsible choice. In your moments of fear, what you are obscure about in your thinking is the power and magnitude of your own choice. Recognize what your own power of choice is. You are not at the mercy of your inadequacy. The intention that will empower you must come from a place within you that suggests that you are indeed able to make responsible choices and draw the power from them. that you can make choices that empower you and not disempower you, that you are capable of acts of wholeness. Test your power of choice, because each time you choose otherwise, you disengage the power of your addiction more and more and increase your personal power more and more. As you work through your weaknesses and you feel levels of addictive attraction, ask yourself the critical questions of the Spirit. If, by following these impulses, do you increase your level of enlightenment? Does it bring you power of the genuine sort? Will it make you more loving? Will it make you more whole? Ask yourself these questions. This is the way out of an addiction. Walk yourself through your reality step by step. Make yourself aware of the consequences of your decisions and choose accordingly. When you feel in yourself the addictive attraction of sex or alcohol or drugs or anything else, remember these words. You stand between the two worlds of your lesser self and your full self. Your lesser self is tempting and powerful because it is not as responsible and not as loving and not as disciplined, so it calls you. This other part of you is whole and more responsible and more caring and more empowered. But it demands of you the way of the enlightened spirit, conscious life. The other choice is unconscious permission to act without consciousness. It is tempting. What choose you? If your decision is to become whole, hold that decision. You will not be as tempted or as frightened as you think. Hold it and remind yourself again and again. You stand between your lesser self and your whole self. Choose with wisdom, because the power is now fully in your hands. Do not underestimate the power of consciousness. As you live and make conscious choices each moment and each day, you fill with strength and your lesser self disintegrates. As you choose to empower yourself, the part of you that you challenge, the temptation that you challenge, will surface again and again. Each time that you challenge it, you gain power and it loses power. If you challenge an addiction to alcohol, for example, and you are drawn 12 times that very day to have a drink, challenge that energy each time. If you look upon each recurrence of an attraction as a setback, or as an indication that your intention is not working, you choose the path of learning through fear and doubt. If you look upon each recurrence as the opportunity that is offered to you, in response to your intention to release your inadequacy and to acquire power over it, you choose the path of learning through wisdom, for that is what it is. The first time that you challenge your addiction, and the second, and the third, you may not feel that anything has been accomplished. Do you think that authentic power can be had so easily? As you hold to your intention, and as you choose again and again and again to become whole, you accumulate power, and the addiction that you thought could not be challenged will lose its power over you. When you challenge an addiction and choose to become whole, you align yourself with your non-physical help. The work to be done is yours, but assistance is always there for you. The non-physical world, the actions of your guides and teachers, touches yours in many ways. The thought that brings power, the memory that reminds, the surprise occurrence that reinforces. There is much joy in the non-physical world when a soul releases major negativity and the quality of its consciousness shifts upward into higher frequencies of light. Therefore, do not suffer in aloneness. There is no such thing. Look at yourself as someone who is reaching for healing and at the complexity of what needs to be healed. Do not think that you exist alone without other human beings of equal complexity. All that the human experience is about is the journey toward wholeness. Therefore, you can look at each individual and rest assured that they are not whole. They are in process. Were they whole, they would not be physical upon our plane. In other words, you have the company of billions of souls. When you have worked hard, take the time to appreciate what you have done. Do not always look at the distance that you have yet to travel. Join your non-physical teachers and guides in applauding what you have accomplished. This does not mean to relapse into your addiction. It means allowing yourself to rest when you need it, to recognize when you become exhausted, and to give yourself the grace of knowing that even the best of us get tired. Understanding the dynamics behind your addiction is one thing. Actually making the emotional connection to discharge the need for it is another story. Your addiction is not insurmountable. It is not overwhelming. If it continues to appear that way to you, it is because deep in your heart you do not see yourself as able to release the addiction, even if you understand why you are drawn to it. If your addiction lingers, ask yourself if you really want to release it, because in your heart you do not. Until you fill in the inadequacies within you, you will always have your addiction. In order to release your addiction, it is necessary to enter your inadequacies, to recognize that they are real, and to bring them into the light of consciousness to heal. It is necessary to look deeply into the parts of yourself that have such power to you, to look clearly at how deep they are within you, and to see them as honestly as you can. It may be that your addiction has provided you one of the few genuine pleasures of your life. What is more important to you, your wholeness and your freedom, or the pleasures that you get from satisfying your addiction? When you understand that your addiction results from an inadequacy, the question becomes how you will respond to your inadequacy, by reaching for another drink or another sexual encounter, or by reaching inward for those things that fill the hole. Move into how strong the power of your addiction is, into how deeply you feel its attraction, and ask yourself if the time is really right for you to release this form of learning. That is for you to ask and answer. You may hear the guidance of your non-physical guides and teachers, and feel that it offers you a path of higher wisdom, but at the same moment, realize that you are not ready to take that path. You might decide that this is not the right time, that you are not yet strong enough to live a certain way. You might indeed have to face that. Ultimately, you will take the higher path, but if you wish to put the journey off for a day, or a week, or 7 lifetimes, that is sufficient. Your teachers see from a perspective that does not include time. It is the depth of wisdom for you to know that you will eventually take the path of consciousness. If that is the path that you will eventually take, why wait? Yet there are times when there is wisdom in waiting as the rest of you prepares for the journey. There is no shame in this decision. The universe does not judge. Eventually, you will come to authentic empowerment. You will know the power of forgiveness, humbleness, clarity, and love. You will evolve beyond the human experience, beyond the Earth school, beyond the learning environment of space and time and matter. You cannot not evolve. Everything in the universe evolves. It is only a question of which way you will choose to learn as you evolve. This is always your choice, and there is always wisdom in each choice. When you return home, when you leave your personality and body behind, you will leave behind your inadequacies, your fears, and angers and jealousies. They do not, and cannot, exist within the realm of spirit. They are the experiences of the personality, of time and matter. You will once again enter the fullness of who you are. You will perceive with loving eyes and compassionate understanding the experiences of your life, including those that seem so much to control you. You will see what purposes they served. You will survey what has been learned, and you will bring these things into your next incarnation. If you choose to continue with your addiction, you choose to experience negative karma. You choose to create without compassion. You choose to be unconscious. You choose to learn through the experiences that your unconscious intentions create. You choose to learn through fear and doubt, because you fear your addiction and you doubt your power to challenge it successfully. If you choose to challenge your addiction, to move consciously toward wholeness, you choose to learn through wisdom. You choose to create your experiences consciously, to align the perceptions and energy of your personality with your soul. You choose to create within physical reality the reality that your soul wishes to create. You choose to allow your soul to move through you. You choose to allow divinity to shape your world. When you struggle with an addiction, you deal directly with the healing of your soul. You deal directly with the matter of your life. This is the work that is required to be done. As you face your deepest struggles, you reach for your highest goal. As you bring to light, heal, and release the deepest currents of negativity within you, you allow the energy of your soul to move directly into and to shape the experiences and events of physical reality, and thereby to accomplish unimpeded its task upon the earth. This is the work of evolution. It is the work that you were born to do. Chapter 11. Relationships. There are certain growing dynamics that can occur only within the dynamic of commitment. Without commitment, you cannot learn to care for another person more than yourself. You cannot learn to value the growth of strength and clarity in another soul, even if that threatens the wants of your personality. When you release the wants of your personality in order to accommodate and encourage another's growth, you attune yourself to that person's soul. Without commitment, you cannot learn to see others as your soul sees them, as beautiful and powerful spirits of light. The archetype of spiritual partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth, is emerging within our species. This is different from the archetype of marriage, which was designed to assist physical survival, and in which the partners do not necessarily see themselves as equals. When individuals enter into a marriage, the ability of each to survive physically is enhanced. They are more capable together of finding fire, shelter, food, and water, and of defending themselves than they are individually. The marriage archetype reflects the perception of power as external. The archetype of spiritual partnership reflects the conscious journey of multisensory humans toward authentic power. Spiritual partners recognize the existence of the soul and consciously seek to further its evolution. They recognize non-physical dynamics at work within the world of time and matter. They see matter as the densest or heaviest level of light that is continually being shaped and reshaped by the souls that share this sphere of learning. They consciously co-create their experiences with each other, with an alive earth that loves life very much, and with a compassionate universe. Communities, nations, and cultures, all our collective creations, are built upon the values and perceptions of the five sensory personality, the values that are reflected by the archetype of marriage. They are designed to serve the physical survival of our species. They also reflect the decisions of our species to learn through fear and doubt. Our entire world is built upon the energy of the five sensory personality that has chosen to learn through fear and doubt. Nations fear nations, races fear races, and the sexes fear each other. The exploration of physical reality, which is external power, could have been accomplished in a spirit of cooperation with and appreciation of the earth. Instead, we chose as a species to explore it with a sense of domination and exploitation. This is the path of learning through fear and doubt, fear of the physical environment and doubt that we fit naturally into it. Our world reflects the basic thought form that there is no afterlife, that in this lifetime, the only thing that ensures power is what can be had and gained. Sometimes we speak of an afterlife, but we do not really believe that after we leave the earth, we are still responsible for the choices that we have made upon the earth, or our choices would be very different. Our species is no longer humble. It has no reverence. It is arrogant and filled with its own technology. It seduces itself constantly in terms of its illusions that it is in control, and so it creates chaos and still refuses to see that it is impossible for it to control. We take from the earth and from each other. We destroy forests and oceans and atmosphere. We enslave each other, and torture, and beat, and humiliate, and murder each other. When the archetype of spiritual partnership, of individuals joined in equality for the purpose of spiritual growth, emerges at the level of community, it creates values and perceptions at that level that reflect those of the multisensory personality. Just as individuals that bond in spiritual partnership and choose to express their bond through the convention of marriage infuse the energy of spiritual partnership into the archetype of marriage and thereby create new values and behaviors within marriage, individuals that join in spiritual partnership at the level of organization, city, nation, race, and sex infuse the collective consciousnesses of these levels with the energy of spiritual partnership and create new values and behaviors at these levels. The evolutionary process that occurs at the level of the individual is the same process that occurs at each level of interaction between individuals. When an individual invokes the energy of the archetype of spiritual partnership, not only the partnership that it forms with another individual is affected, but also its community, nation, and the global village. Your decision to evolve consciously through responsible choice contributes not only to your own evolution, but also to the evolution of all of those aspects of humanity in which you participate. It is not just you that is evolving through your decisions, but the entirety of humanity. If you wish the world to become loving and compassionate, become loving and compassionate yourself. If you wish to diminish fear in the world, diminish your own. These are the gifts that you can give. The fear that exists between nations is a macrocosm of the fear that exists between individuals. The perception of power as external that separates nations is the same that exists between individuals. And the love, clarity, and compassion that emerge within the individual that chooses consciously to align itself with its soul is the same that will bring sexes, races, nations, and neighbors into harmony with each other. There is no other way. Though each human being is responsible for the quality of life that he or she personally experiences, simultaneously, that extends to the macrocosm. The threat of nuclear annihilation, for example, is a macrocosmic idea or notion on our Earth, and it requires the complete evolution of the microcosm in order for that to evaporate. So long as those who strive to establish harmony at the level of nations have within themselves the anger and violence that they seek to heal between nations, the harmony that they seek to create at the macrocosmic level cannot come into being. What is in one is in the whole, and therefore, ultimately, each soul is responsible for the whole world. When you commit to a spiritual partnership with another human being, you bring the energy of the archetype of spiritual partnership into the physical arena. You begin to form and to live by the values, perceptions, and actions that reflect equality with your partner and a commitment to his or her spiritual development and your own. You begin to set aside the wants of your personality in order to accommodate the needs of your partner's spiritual growth, and in doing that, you grow yourself. That is how spiritual partnership works. You begin to see that what is necessary to the health of your partnership is identical with what is necessary to your own spiritual growth, that each of you holds the pieces that the other is missing. If you are jealous, for example, you will find that jealousy is what brings to the surface in your partner an aspect that needs to be healed, and that that aspect is mirrored in yourself. You begin to value your partner's contributions to your development. You experience that his or her perceptions and observations are helpful and indeed central to your growth, that conversations between you stir deep waters. You learn the roles of love and commitment and trust in making your partnership work. You learn that love alone is not enough, that without trust, you are not able to give and to receive the love that both of you have for each other. You learn that your commitment must be translated into a form that satisfies the needs of both you and your partner. You learn to value the needs of your partner as much as you value your own, because the partnership that you both want requires two healthy and inwardly secure individuals. You learn to trust not only each other, but also your ability to grow together. You learn that you put your partnership most at risk by avoiding that which you are most afraid will destroy it. It is not easy to express what is inside you, especially when that makes you feel vulnerable, or painful, or angry, or upset. These are the emotions that empower words that can do either damage or can do so much healing. You learn that sharing your concerns with consideration and the intention to heal and trust in the process is the only appropriate avenue. As you approach your needs with courage instead of fear, you ignite a sense of trust. The true human condition in its most perfect form has no secrets. It does not hide, but exists in clear love. You learn not to do stupid and careless things to each other. You learn that wanting what you want is not enough, but that you must both want it deeply and create it every day, that you must bring it into being and hold it in being with your intentions. As the consciousness of each of you becomes lighter, your partnership becomes richer. You learn the value of considering the other's position, by becoming the other person, by truly walking into the fears of the other, and then returning into your own being again. You open up the conversation to transcend the personal and become healing at the impersonal. This allows you to see each other as spiritual playmates as you work through the areas that require healing in each of you. Even into the toughest moments of your work on feelings of insecurity, you can be light and remind yourself that you are spirits who have taken on the physical experience and have far greater power than you are showing in that moment of weakness. The things that are the individuals to learn in spiritual union with another individual are the groups, the communities, and the nations to learn in spiritual union with other groups, communities, and nations. The choice in each instance is between learning through fear and doubt or through wisdom, between the lower frequency energy currents of the personality and the higher frequency energy currents of the soul. If the anger of one personality towards another creates distance, shatters intimacy, and causes defensiveness, the anger of one nation or religion or sex toward another produces the same. If the concern of one personality for another produces closeness, appreciation, and mutual regard, the concern of one nation or religion or community for another produces the same. The dynamic is identical. You are related to every form of life upon this planet and beyond. As your soul evolves, you move into greater awareness of the nature of that relationship and the responsibilities that you assume. Within our species, there are degrees of soul consciousness. The significance of the evolution of responsibility is that each human being moves through levels of responsibility on its way to wholeness. In other words, as a soul chooses to learn the lesson of responsibility, it will find itself incarnating into an atmosphere of more potential impact upon the species. The personality must also come to agree with what the soul has chosen. If you are not consciously ready, you will not be put into a position to impact many for the protection of your own soul. A soul that is new to the human experience, for example, a soul that has evolved from the animal kingdom and is beginning its journey of human evolution, although there are very few of them at this point, begins within a certain frequency range and for its own protection incarnates into a limited sphere of human life. It may incarnate into a remote region so that it can have a gentle life familiarizing itself with the human physical experience. As it becomes more adept at the human sensory system, at human intelligence, at the connection between the soul and body energy and what is expected within a human incarnation, its capacity to move and incarnate into more responsible centers of activity increases. Center of activity does not mean the presence of a city or a university, but an activity of karmic proportion. In other words, a person that is living in a remote area in which the temptations of life and the definitions of good and evil are far more clear, in which there are not as many temptations, is not in the same karmic center as a soul that has chosen to incarnate as one who would have a larger sphere of influence within a family, or a community, or a nation. A soul's center of activity refers to the degree of expansion of its karmic influence and its energy influence. A soul needs to be more advanced to handle the possibilities that come from the expansion of its karmic energy influences. This is the significance of the evolution of responsibility. As souls choose to participate consciously in more inclusive levels of interaction, they take on not only their own transformation, but also those of the larger collectives in which they participate. Think of your consciousness in terms of physical light. That light shines, but a brighter light shines over a wider range, and a dimmer light shines on a smaller range. The extent to which your light shines is the width and depth and breadth of your karmic influence. If you are a major light, you shine upon the entire globe. If you are growing into a major light, but are a lesser light, you shine within a different range of which you are held karmically responsible. But your potential to shift your own quality of consciousness and the quality of consciousness of others is equally enormous. Within the sphere of possibilities and probabilities for the soul, there exist many opportunities, including the possibility that the soul might choose, for example, its most remote path of growth instead of the one that is most natural to its energy, so to speak. If, in the privacy of his or her own spiritual choices, a soul advances in faith and in courage and in feelings for his or her own humanity, that soul may well open the door which leads to greater awareness and to greater karmic influence and responsibility. Whereas that possibility might have existed with only a small probability at the time of the soul's incarnation, a door that would open only under certain circumstances, if this happened, and then if that happened, it may become so that the soul does indeed find its way to that path. Every microconsciousness, or individual soul, affects the macroconsciousness depending upon the quality of its light, upon the frequency of its consciousness. A soul that agrees to incarnate into a lifetime in which it has significant potential to affect the lives of many is a great soul. The quality of power of such a soul is great. It is global. Its capacity to touch the lives of millions, and indeed billions of human beings, is very real, and so will be its karmic debt if it fails in its task to advance humanity. It will have the karmic responsibility of billions of souls upon its own. Great souls upon our planet, like all souls upon our planet, must make decisions moment by moment. As you look upon the many souls of our earth who stand in major positions to maneuver the lives of thousands, or millions, or billions of human beings, allow yourself to distinguish them from their personalities. Even though a soul has the ability to influence the lives of billions of people, or even the entirety of humanity, its personality is tempted. When the personality, Jesus, encountered the Luciferic principle, the challenging principle of our species, when he was offered dominion over the entire globe, the fulfillment of all that he could conceive, was he tempted? Yes, he was tempted. If he were not, there would have been no power in his choice. Were the choice of the path of glory that he chose not balanced against another of equal attraction, how could he have drawn such power from that choice? Authentic empowerment is not gained by making choices that do not stretch you. When a soul chooses the vertical path, when it chooses to evolve consciously through responsible choice, it becomes capable of liberating itself from its own negativities. It reaches for authentic power. It takes on, so to speak, its own negativity, the unconscious intentions of the splintered parts of its personality. As a personality becomes conscious, As it evolves into a multisensory personality and becomes integrated, the frequency of its consciousness increases.